mind bowing your head for just a moment, closing your eyes, and would you say to the Lord, Lord, please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled with your spirit or simply controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Y'all know Winnie the Pooh, right? most people do. A fictional kids book or show character. This show, Winnie the Pooh, is set in the Hundred Acre Woods, remember? It's a kid's favorite, has some interesting characters. The author, A.A. Milne, I may be saying that wrong, Milne, M-I-L-N-E, lived and played with his son Christopher Robin. This is in real life. He played with his son Christopher Robin in woods there in England, known as Ashton Forest. Ashton Forest. And so the human character in Winnie the Pooh is Christopher Robin. And there's several others there. There's of course, the main character, the bear named Winnie the Pooh. And some of these, I hadn't really thought about it. Some of them don't have names. They're just named what they are, even though that's their name. You know what I mean? Never really thought about it. You got a bear named Winnie the Pooh. You got a piglet named Piglet. You got a kangaroo named Kanga and her son Roo. You got an unnamed owl, or an owl named Owl, A-O-W-L. A rabbit named Rabbit. And you got a donkey named Eeyore. And a tiger named Tigger. If you think about it, the last two characters mentioned, Tigger and Eeyore, they're the complete opposite. The complete opposite of one another. I know I've alluded to this before. We're going to take a little bit further tonight talking about Tigger and Eeyore. Tigger's energetic. He's optimistic. He says things like, the wonderful thing about Tiggers is that I'm the only one. Remember that? Bouncing is what Tiggers do best. His goodbye is TTF to N, ta-ta for now. So you can tell if you want a new goodbye, just take it up there from Tigger, TTFN, ta-ta for now. He spells his name. Now, I'll probably get this wrong. He spells his name. That's T-I-double-G-R. That's the way he spells it. So he's again, an optimistic, energetic type. Eeyore is just the opposite. Eeyore is just the opposite. Even the tone of his voice. He's really concerned about losing his tail quite a bit. He's less than energetic. He's extremely pessimistic. He says things like, thanks for noticing me. I'd say thistles, but nobody listens anyway. If it is a good morning, which I doubt, he says things like that. Wish I could say yes, but I can't. Now, I've thought about this a little bit. What if Eeyore were a member of Oakmount Evangelical Church? What if Eeyore were a member of Oakmount Evangelical Church? He'd probably say things like this. Now, I'm sure that no one in our church would ever say this, but Eeyore might. He'd say things like, another bad Sunday. You preached, Ryan, so he's talking about you. The parking lot sure needs paved. I'm sure 2026 will be just another year. There's no way that we're going to grow. In this day and age, we just can't draw young people to church. There's no way we can afford that. But if Tigger was a member of Oakmount Evangelical Church, you know, I think he'd respond in a very optimistic way. I wouldn't be surprised if Tigger and Eeyore were in a conversation, both as members. You got to use your imagination a little bit here. both of them as members of Oak Mound Evangelical Church, with Eeyore with all of his negativism. I wouldn't be surprised if Tigger stood up, and Tigger in his usual energetic way, but Eeyore, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's our text tonight, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. One verse. You say, preacher, can you preach on just one verse? Well, it's possible. We'll give it a shot tonight. We'll bring in a few other verses here or there, but this is the text. Title of the message tonight, Entering 2026 with Optimism. Entering 2026 with Optimism. It's subtitled, Five Elements of a Can-Do Attitude. Five Elements of a Can-Do Attitude. Now, it won't take long to read this verse. say it with me or read it with me if you would. I'm sure it'll be up on the monitor, already is up on the monitor if you don't have your Bible with you. Let's say that all together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, we'll probably talk about this in a little bit, but this verse is misapplied in a lot of ways. But this verse, in its proper context, and this verse in the life of a Christian doing God's will, and this verse in the life of a church, that is a powerful verse. I mean, you think about it. Just I could stop right now and say, hey, y'all encouraged? Probably most of you, yeah, I like it. That's good. I'm not, but hey. The optimism in that verse is amazing. And we're going to be looking at five elements of a can-do attitude. You know, we all enjoy being around can-do people. I think one of the most can-do people that I've ever been around, or the most can-do person that I've been around in my life, my boss in Chattanooga when I was working for an engineering consulting company, I mean, I would be with him sometimes, and we'd go to this company, and they'd say everything that needs to be done, and he'd just like, yep, we can do that, yep, we can do that, yep, we can do it. I mean, he just, and he was really fast at what he did, and he really could whip out the work, and he was very optimistic. Yes, we, you know, I believe as children of God, doing God's work, there ought to be an optimism. There ought to be a can-do attitude. Now, the honesty of the whole matter is, at times, I believe even the most optimistic of people have those moments of pessimism. Y'all agree with that? Just give me a little nod. But if we're stuck in an attitude of pessimism, we're not right with God. I'm telling you, if we're stuck in this no can do, no can do, no can do type of attitude, I'm telling you, we're not really right with God. And how many of you really, really enjoy spending a lot of time with people who are no can do people, pessimistic people? Don't you just love being around them? I mean, some of those people, you can be in a perfectly good mood, but you're around them a little bit and you're like, man, I suddenly feel down in the dumps. I believe that life is hard. I believe that ministry is hard. I believe that every church hits bumps in the road, but I do know that my God can do anything. And I do know that me as a Christian, in my walk with God, I have to have an optimism that I know my God can do anything. And that'll help me put one foot in front of the other. That'll help me keep going for the Lord. And that'll help me keep ministering for the Lord. You see, we minister by faith and not by sight. Isn't that good? But this one verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Five elements of a can-do attitude. First of all, realize God wants to use you and me personally. Realize that God wants to use you and I personally. Personally. You know that verse, That's pretty personal, don't you think? And we can take that verse and say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, if God wanted to, God could have taken us home the moment we got saved. In a lot of ways, that had been kind of enjoyable, right? Hey, I got saved. Now I'm with Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's nothing bad about that. But God said, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. I want you to stay right where you are. And I'm going to enable you and encourage you and help you serve me. Realize God wants to use you and me personally. It's really one of those things, if you think about it long enough, you're like, wow, really? I mean, God, the God of the universe, the God who made everything, the God who brought us 4 inches of snow, and before that, 8 inches of snow. and the God that made the mountains and the rivers and the trees and the streams, all of that, that all-powerful God, the God who calls the stars by name, the God who makes sure that the solar system works just the way, he has a plan for me? Does he have a plan for you? Absolutely. God wants to use us. And we can have that optimism, that is, because God wants to use us. Paul says this personally as he is writing to the Philippian church. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Just to know that God wants to use us personally is a cause of optimism. Let's try that again, Ryan. I heard Ryan's amen up there on the balcony. Ryan, you got to be a little louder tonight. Larry's not here, okay? So, Jason, get with it. Just to know that God wants to use us personally is a cause of optimism. I mean, the God of the universe. It's also, by the way, a cause of rejoicing. You know, what if a person of great importance in this world, now I'm not talking about God, but I'm talking about in this world. What if President Trump would call you, or any president, and say, hey, you know what, I want you to do this for me. I have a special project, and I want you to do it. I mean, how would you feel about it? I mean, for the most part, now forget the person, but just say the president of the United States would call you up and say, hey, wouldn't we be gratified? Like, wow, they called me to do a special project for the United States of America. The president did that. I mean, we'd be like, wow. But someone a whole lot higher than the president's tapping us on the shoulder saying, hey, I got things for you to do. That should encourage us and give us a sense of optimism and give us a sense of rejoicing. Five elements of a can-do attitude. Number one, realize God wants to use you and me personally. The verse starts with I can do, and God wants to use us. I mean, who did God used individuals all throughout scriptures, right? I mean, Paul was used, really, the first missionary. Pretty big. God used him. How could he do it? Because of God's calling and because of God's help. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Even Gideon in Sunday school. Amen. Now, if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. I really feel like a couple of the last Sunday school lessons we've been having down there, the last two out of the three or something, it's kind of like, wow, I never really looked at it that way before. You know, like, wow, lessons from the life of Gideon. I mean, wow, some stuff like, that's good. So if you're missing Sunday school, I'd encourage you. Sunday school's a blessing. And our Sunday school's not too well attended right now, to be honest with you. But that's because sometimes of the want to. So if you want to, you know, you can come to Sunday school. We'll do our best to teach you and encourage you and answer any questions you have. Second element of a can-do attitude, realize that optimism is possible. Realize that optimism is possible. You could be such right now, I don't even think I can be optimistic. No way. You're kind of in the Eeyore tone. I just don't think it could happen to me. You know, I don't think I can be optimistic. Yes, you can. Paul says, I can do, right? I can do. You see, optimism is possible. If we know Jesus as Savior, even in a negative, critical, sinful world, we can be optimists. Actually, we can be eternal optimists, right? It's going to be a whole lot easier when I get to heaven to be optimistic than it is now, but we can even be optimistic now because we know why we're here. We have the peace, the joy, the purpose in life, and we know where we're headed. I don't know about, do you ever have some of those days you're like, I'm so thankful that this world is not my home.
Oh, yeah.
We can be eternally optimistic. You see, we need to realize that optimism is possible. I agree that life is tough. Most of us are not getting any younger. Ooh, I had to throw that in there just to make people feel bad. But I realize none of us are getting any younger, but the cause of Christ does not need one more. The cause of Christ does not need one more negative, critical, pessimistic Christian. You got me? We don't need one more. We need a church load of optimists who say, you know, if God's in it, it's good. If God's in it, we're going to do it. If God's in it, we're going to accomplish great things for God, whether we can see it or not. For instance, the Christmas parade. I do not know of one single individual soul that's come to this church since this last Christmas because of a track we gave them. Now, we did have a couple come for a good while and be very faithful, and they got a gospel track. Now, they're not here anymore, but they did for, so it does impact. But let me tell you, by faith, I serve God, and I serve a can-do God, and I can have that optimism that those gospel tracts that said Merry Christmas and had the gospel plan on it will be used and has been used by God to impact souls. If anybody should be optimistic, it ought to be a child of God. You and I can say, indeed, as Christians, I can do what God wants for me to do. Some people seem to make a lifetime career of being negative and using words like, no way, that's not going to happen. You won't be able to do that. Forget those plans. You know, the people that say things like that, they terribly hurt the cause of Christ. I mean, I'm not talking just a little bit. I'm talking about they terribly hurt the cause of Christ. They damage their local churches. If we can't be positive, if you can't be positive, you're going to say, that's a mean preacher. I'm going to say something. It almost sounds a little bit mean. If you can't be positive, will you please just keep your mouth shut? You see, my God is a can-do God. Five elements of a can-do attitude. First of all, realize God wants to use you and me personally. Number two, realize that optimism is possible. I can do. Thirdly, realize the scope of accomplishment. Realize the scope of accomplishment. Now it says, I can do what? All things. All things. If you really look at the context of what's going on here, let me just read it. It'll not appear on the screen, but let me just read a little bit of this, okay? Paul says, remember where Paul's at? This is the book of Philippians. This is a verse we have not covered in Philippians chapter 4, so I thought it was really good, you know, new year, and let's talk about this, and God gave me the message, and it's in the context of contentment. Contentment. It says, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, Philippian church. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You wanted to help me, but the opportunity just wasn't there. But now you've helped me again. What had they done? They had sent a gift to Paul through Epaphroditus, right? He says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. To be content. I have learned, Paul says, to be content. A guy under house arrest in Rome, not sure if he's going to live, not sure if he's going to die, but he says, I have learned to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, it doesn't matter where I'm at, whether I'm at the top of the heap or the bottom of the pile, I am going to be content. And then he jumps right into this verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, that's not something that comes natural. Contentment is not a natural human characteristic. Can I tell you? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I mean, really. I mean, pretty much, right? It is hard for us typically to be content. As the pastor that married us and counseled us before we were married, very good advice. He said, you know, the grass on the other side of the fence is usually greener, but it's probably poison. So, but in the context of contentment, Paul was saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Contentment in his walk with God. It's in the context of contentment. In the ups and downs of life, Paul could do all things, including being content in spite of the downs. All things here refers to things that are in the scope of God's will. The all things spoken of here are things that are in the scope of God's will. You know, if you take this verse, and a lot of people do, and I kind of appreciate them taking a Bible verse and using it, I guess, even if it is kind of wrongly applied, maybe I shouldn't, but it's kind of like, well, at least they recognize there's a Bible, and then there's a verse in there. But, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm going to win the state tournament in wrestling. Because I can do. Now, is that really what this verse is saying? I don't think so. I think at certain times you've got to read Scripture and say, what's the context? What's it talking about? It's talking about things within God's service, within God's will. Does that make a difference? Or else I could say, I looked this up. You know the tallest building in the world? You talked about a tall building that the guy's going to try to climb without ropes here before too long. But the tallest building in the world, according to my phone, according to Google, it's called Burj Khalifa. It's in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. It stands 2,717 feet tall. It has 163 floors. I mean, if I looked at this verse just at face value without looking at the context and what's really being said here, I can say, I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to jump it in one leap. And you're like, that's kind of goofy, isn't it? So really, it's in the context. I assure you, it's in the context of things in the scope of God's will. I can do it. If God is in it, I can do it. What are some things that might be, for instance? I believe God would like to have our parking lot paved. Really? I mean, I can't say definitively that God's ever saying, yeah, that's my will. But I think he'd want to get us. So we can say, you know what? I believe God's going to allow us to get our parking lot paved. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I think he wants the parking lot paved. Hello? 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 Ring, ring. Anybody home? What about reaching people with the gospel? I mean, things like that. And God's will for my life. I can do all things because I'm in the center of God's will. You know, the Bible says what? Basically, with the Lord, all things are possible. Right? And so, you can't take this just as a, well, I'm going to do my own thing. Because we could even use it to justify some sin. I mean, really, I can do all things. I'm going to get rich. That's what I'm talking about here. Yeah, see that verse there? I can do. No, it's all things within the context of God's will. Now, I can't presume upon God's will, even when I say parking lot, but I think he'd like us to have a nice parking lot. I think he'd like to see us soul saved. I know he was, right? Because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So if it was his goal, it should be our goal, right? And to see souls saved is in it. So I can reach people with the gospel, right? It might be tough, but I can do it. What about even filling up these seats? Wouldn't that be good? Now, I don't know exactly what God's doing and how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. But I think I can claim that verse for things within God. I mean, don't you think God would like to see these seats filled up? Not because you can say, wow, we had this number of people. No, it's because, wow, these people are hearing the gospel. Wow, these people are listening to what God wants to do. Wow, these people are serving God. Hello? Do y'all think so? So realize the scope of accomplishment. All thing here refers to things that are in the scope of God's will. If it wasn't, again, we could even claim to be able to do even ungodly things. You know, I think God wants me to be a movie star. Yeah, that's it. So, and I can do all things through Christ. I know he wants. God may not want you to be a movie star. I mean, if he does, yeah, he can see you through and he can put you behind on the big screen or whatever. But we can't take that verse. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we take that verse a lot of times and apply it. And we can do that really well a lot of times. We apply it where we want it, even though it doesn't really mean that. Through Christ. And it goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ. Now that even further limits the scope of all things, right? Through Christ. Because a lot of things Christ wouldn't be in. Through Christ. I'm going to get rich. Love of money is the root of all evil. So, five elements of a can-do attitude. Number one, realize God wants to use you and me personally. Number two, realize that optimism is possible. Number three, realize the scope of accomplishment within God's will. Number four, realize who it's all about. Realize who it's all about. It says I can do all things, what? Through Christ. Everything about our life. So many of us Christians, and we all struggle with this, but it's like we don't get it. We belong to Jesus. Amen. We still think we got the title of our life. We don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. You know what it says? Listen to this. Listen real close. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? So if you know Jesus, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. One part of the Trinity. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, but that's not the point I'm making. It says, which is in you, which you have of God. Here it is. And ye are not your own. Can I say that again? Ye are not your own. And see, my old flesh, my old human sin nature doesn't want to hear that. Like, huh, what's that? You're telling me I'm not my own. Yes, I'm my own. I'm going to do what I want to do. And more you see Christians doing exactly what they want to do, but we don't belong to ourselves. Now think about it. I mean, it's a really good deal that we got out of this. Excuse that word that can be used for selling things, but we got a really good deal out of this. Really, we did. We were lost. We were sinners. We were going to get the just rewards of our sin and go to hell forever and ever and ever. But Jesus came to this earth. He died up on the cross. He paid our sin debt and resurrected back to life. And then the offer is given to everybody to say, you know what? If you believe in Jesus, you can be born again. You can be saved. And you can have heaven instead of hell. I mean, I think that's a really good deal. Amen. Again, pardon that word deal. But that's really a good opportunity, right? Wow. But once we do that, we become a child of God. Amen. We become a child of our Heavenly Father. And we no longer have control of our own lives. Once we do that, we say, Lord, We belong to you, lock, stock, and barrel. Let's use your fishing analogy. Hook, line, and sinker. Every single bit of my life now belongs to you. That really gets our old sin nature riled up because we're going to do our own thing. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing, is it? It says, and ye are not your own, for ye are what? Bought with a price. I mean, it cost the Son of God a lot. It cost him his life. It cost him the punishment of the cross. The nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the crown of thorns on his head, the beating that he took, his beard being plucked. His vision was marred more than anyone else ever. And besides all that, it wasn't just the physical part. He was bearing the guilt and the shame of the whole world. It cost him a lot. We were bought with the price of the cross. We were bought with that. The blood of Jesus. So we don't belong to ourselves. It says, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body and my spirit belong to God. It belongs to God. You see, we need to realize who it's all about. Because he says, I can do all things, what? Through Christ. Through Christ. It's all about Christ. When we get self off of the throne, we're a whole lot better off. You know, a lot of us want to sit on our own throne of our life and say, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it this way. This is my plan, and I got my goals, and I'm going to do it. We don't consult God at all. But God says, guess what? When you got saved, and maybe we preachers just don't emphasize it enough, but becoming a Christian is a commitment. It's a commitment. And when we give our heart and life to Jesus, again, it's like turning the title over. You know, it'd be kind of goofy if Tim said, I want to buy your van. Actually, it's not our van. It's my father-in-law's van, but I'll sell it to you. And he buys it and pays real good money for it. And I get the title and I sign it over to Tim and give it back. So here it is. It's yours. Now, wouldn't it be something if I go over to Tim's house there and just kind of, I have an extra key. And I go over to Tim's house and I get in there and start driving that thing in. You say, well, that doesn't belong to you anymore. It's mine. That's what God says about us. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to me. So why do you keep trying to get behind the steering wheel? Realize who it's all about. I can do all things through Christ. Everything in this life is a Christian. A true child of God is to be about and centered on Christ. Paul said it really well. He said in Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. You know what he's saying? Everything about life is Christ for me. Everything about life is Christ. And we'll find that when we do that and we get that concept and we live by that and say, say, Lord, it's all you. It's all about you. My life's going to center about you. All my decisions are going to come from you. I'm going to spend time in your book. I'm going to spend time talking to you and having fellowship and a walk with you. You didn't think I was listening this morning to the sermon, did you? And walk with God in 2026. It's a whole lot better on us. I mean, you think, oh, no, no, we're giving control of our life to God. It can't be fun. Yeah, it is. It's funner. It's better, because when we turn it over to him, he's got the best plan and he's got the best way of doing things, right? And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, through Christ. I remember this old gospel song I used to hear. It goes something like this. No one wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. No one wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everybody wants to be the lead singer in the band. Think about that. Amy got this perplexed look. Where in the world did you hear that song? Well, this was years ago, long before Amy. But the point is made very clearly. I mean, don't you think that's true? You know, no one wants to play rhythm guitar. No one wants to be this part of God's army, so to speak. I want to be the leader. I want to be the lead singer in the band. We need to realize who it's all about. If you want to have a can-do attitude, that is 2026. Number one, realize God wants to use you and me personally. Number two, realize that optimism is possible. Number three, realize the scope of accomplishment. Number four, realize who it's all about. And last point, realize the source of power. Realize the source of power. The last three words of that verse, I can do all things through Christ, what? Which strengtheneth me. It's amazing that he wants to use us, but the power is not ours. The power is God himself. I mean, let me ask you, is God still in the miracle business? Yes, he is. Most of us want to put God in a little tiny box about that big and say, well, that's all God can do. My God is all powerful. My God can use 300 men to defeat 135,000 enemies of God. As we've been looking, the reason that you say, preacher, that's pretty amazing. You remembered all that. Well, I've just been teaching it in Sunday school. But they were outnumbered 450-1. And God did something. God worked and they had victory. So enter 2026, whether it be individually or as families or as a church, we are basically disappointing God when we say, well, God can't do that. He can't do that. No way he's going to do that. No way we're going to see growth. No way we're going to see souls saved. No way we're going to see revival. Shame on you if you have that attitude. God can do anything. God is still the God who can do whatever he pleases. And I believe God wants us to reach more souls for Jesus. Don't you think so? It says, which strengtheneth me. Anything that we accomplish for Christ is never because of our own power or strength. It's always because of the power and strength of the Lord. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I really think a lot of the times the reason we may not be accomplishing what God wants us to do because we just don't think we can do it. Now, again, we can't, but with God's help, if God is in it, we can do it. I know we live in a rough time. I realize it's not the 1950s or the 1970s. It seemed like 1970. If you look at a lot of churches were formed in 1970, right around that time frame. And a lot of Christian schools were started in the 1970s. I mean, they were booming. I mean, they had more students than they knew what to do with. They had churches that were almost filled or overflowing. We're not living in the 70s. But I can't use that as an excuse and say I'm not going to serve God because God's not going to work that way. The God I know can still work that way. And I know it may be a little tough. It may be slow going. We just need to be faithful and do what God wants us to do and have that optimistic attitude that God can do anything. Can I say it one more time? If you don't believe that, if you're an old pessimist, would you please just keep quiet? Because my God can do anything. Even in everything that we go through in life as individuals. Do we sometimes go through the fog and go through the funk? Go through the tunnel? It's like, man, I want to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, this verse also applies individually, right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because of God's power, because of God's strength. You may even have a problem tonight. You say, I don't see any solution to it. That's okay. God does. Amen. You say, I can't fix it. That's okay. God can. You see, even specifically, the way we accomplish things for the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ is through the strength and the power of Christ. You see, if you're counting on this preacher, it ain't going to happen. If you're counting on your Sunday school teacher, it's not going to happen. If you're counting on your own power and strength and say, my brain power is going to make it, it's probably not going to happen. Nothing against your brain power. Nothing against our Sunday school teachers, and hopefully nothing against me, but the power is always from God. The power is all we can do is say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. But the actual working and the power and the things that happen is because of God. Have you ever tried to fix something? Now, I guess this could be good and this could be a curse, but see, my dad fixed stuff. That's just the way it was. You know, I mean, we didn't just take our car to the garage and say, fix it. My dad figured it out, and he fixed it. And Joe's a lot the same way. You know, he worked on cars, and my dad built houses, you know, built or improved the house that he was in. He turned our garage into a house and did all of that. As I've jokingly said, I remember the one day that he laid one block all day because he was so, that's got to be straight. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be level. I think he got one block the whole day. But that's the way my dad was. So I kind of got some of that. I don't like to admit defeat. And, you know, God, you know, with YouTube now, boy, you can YouTube things and something doesn't work. You can maybe figure it out and save yourself hundreds of dollars, fix it yourself. I'm just used to doing that. I come from a family of do-it-yourselfers. Let's do it yourself. I can't do everything, but some things I pitch in and God blesses and a lot of praying goes into it. Lord, help this thing to work. And God works that way and it works. But you know, a lot of times when we start to work on something, we're like, this thing's not working. You know what? The first thing we need to do is figure out whether it's getting power. That's one of the first things. If it's an appliance of some sort, if it's a car, you start with the battery. That's the power source, right? You start with an appliance. Why is it not working? Maybe it's not getting power. So brilliantly, now sometimes we tear into it and we figure it out, oh, it's unplugged. or something has crimped the wire or something. You know, the breaker's been thrown or maybe a fuse is blown. But power is important in most things that we use in life. Would you agree with that? Boy, let me tell you how powerful, let me tell you how important power is in the life of a Christian in doing what God wants them to do. God's power, that is. You see, we can have the best of plans, but if God's not in it, we're out of luck. Amen. You see, the source of power is always the Lord. The source of power is always the Lord. Tonight, 2026, entering 2026 with optimism. Five elements of a can-do attitude. Number one, realize God wants to use you and me personally. Realize God wants to use you and me personally. You know, what an amazing thought that should give us optimism, should give us encouragement, should make us rejoice, and it should give us a can-do attitude to know that the God of the universe wants to use us. Yeah. Secondly, tonight, realize that optimism is possible. Realize that optimism. And would you please quit excusing pessimists for being pessimists? I've heard people say when they just openly are disobedient to God or say things they shouldn't or too frank or too mean, well, that's just them. That's just the way they are. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. I mean, really, don't excuse away sin. I mean, we're not supposed to be pessimistic. I'm telling you, we are not supposed to be pessimistic. And if we want to win people to the Lord, we better show a little bit of optimism or they're going to die and go to hell because they look at us and say, boy, I don't want to be like old pessimist Joe over there or Fred or Bill or whatever the name might be. Sorry, Bill. I wasn't talking about this Bill. I try to use that. Did you just do your Eeyore impersonation? Five elements of a can-do attitude. Realize God wants to use you and me personally. Second, realize the optimism is possible. Remember, Paul wrote this under house arrest, and he wasn't sure whether he's going to live or whether he's going to die, but he had a can-do attitude. If he can do that in the midst of being under house arrest in Rome, surely you and I can have a can-do attitude and say, you know what? We can do it. We can do it with God's help. We can do it. If it's God's will, we can do it. If God's in this, we can do it. Thirdly, realize the scope of accomplishment. Paul knew that he could accomplish some amazing thing in God's will. He knew that. And didn't he? He started churches all over the place. He went through all this tribulation and trials. We're still reading about him. He wrote a huge chunk of the New Testament. Doesn't it give you some excitement, enthusiasm, and optimism just thinking about how God can empower you to do some amazing things for God in 2026? You say, preacher, you think God can really use me? I don't think he can. I know he can. You know, the biggest ability that God is looking for is availability. Think about that. The biggest ability. You know, you got some amazingly talented, gifted people, but they're not available. They're like, no, don't have time, But if you have time and you're available to God, that's what concerns God. You got the want to. We kind of started with that, didn't we? You got the want to. God can use you in amazing ways. Number four, realize who it's all about. Life is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am his child. That really can make the sometimes pessimism of this earthly life and existence fade into the glory that we'll someday experience in heaven, because we know that we are on our way to heaven and we are children of God. That should encourage us. That should help us to look at things in a positive way. Realize who it's all about. Number five, realize the source of power. Paul had been through a lot. That grew him and that matured him in his faith. But his own wisdom and his own experience wasn't what he relied upon. I mean, if anybody could have said, "Now I got this," Paul probably would say, "Yeah, go get him, Paul." But he said, no. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He knew where the power source was. You and I may also have grown and matured in our faith, in our wisdom and experience, but may we never, ever, ever, ever rely upon our own wisdom and experience instead of the power of God. We're in a heap of trouble. To me, there's something exciting about entering a new year. Really, there is. There's something kind of exciting about entering a new year. You know, you hear the expression, turning over a new leaf or wiping the slate clean. And in a sense, that's what I feel at the beginning of a new year. Yeah, 2025, yep. Maybe you made a mess of your life. Maybe you made a lot of bad decisions. I don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe you took the steering wheel back and said, "Yeah, I'm going to do this in 2025. Hopefully in 2026 you figured out that that's not the best way to go. Think about how God might use us as individuals and as a group of individuals here at Oakmount. I do believe I'm an eternal optimist. Do I have my moments of pessimism? Yep, absolutely. But I do believe that, generally speaking, I'm an optimist. And you can be an optimist too. You just don't know what God's going to do in our church in 2026. Really. Don't be an Eeyore member of Oakmount. You go home and say, "What did the preacher preach on?" "I don't know, I think he called me an Eeyore." Don't be an Eeyore member of Oakmount, but be a Tigger. Amen. Be a Tigger member of Oakmount with that optimism and that bounce in your step, saying, "We just don't know what God's going to do at Oakmount." Amen. And you know, if we have that excitement and that enthusiasm and that optimism, people notice that. I mean, when you come to encounter people in the food line or something, you know, and you get a chance to talk to them a little bit, maybe someone who's checking you out or something. I mean, don't be like, "You don't want to go to church with me, do you? I go to that church up on the hill, and I don't think you really want to go up there. Not too many people up there. Parking lot's not too good." You know, sometimes people can be mean up there. You know, I mean, that's going to really draw those people, right? But if we're truly optimistic, if we're truly serious, like a Tigger member of this church, you know, we got a good bunch of folks up there. God is blessing our church, and God is going to bless our church. And we'd love to have you come and visit our church. I mean, can you tell the difference? I mean, which one would you go to? If someone come up to me and say, "You really don't want to come to our church, do you?" Yeah, I'd say, "Well, I probably don't." "You're right, I don't." Be a Tigger member. Attitude is important. Attitude and optimism is very important. I'm going to ask you just to do this at your seat. I'm just going to ask you to do this at your seat. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, please. Again, we've been talking about entering 2026 with optimism, five elements of a can-do attitude. As heads, your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you mind asking God right now from your heart? Would you mind asking God right now from your heart that you would be able to do some amazing things for the Lord in 2026? Would you say, Lord, I want you to use me. Use me with your power and your strength and your direction. I want to do some amazing things for you in 2026. It's not about you. It's not about me. But would you say, Lord, would you use me? I'm available. Would you use me in 2026 to do some amazing things? Would you be willing to say that to the Lord from your heart? And secondly, if you're willing, would you ask God this? Would you ask God, with all of us working together to help our church accomplish some amazing things for the Lord in 2026? Would you ask God, if you're willing, God, would you help all of us as Oak Mound Evangelical Church, would you help us to accomplish some amazing things for the Lord in 2026? Again, it's not about us, but it's about the Lord. But would you ask him to use our church to do some amazing things in 2026?